Parshas Ba'alei Yischa. There is a very interesting theme, more than just interesting, a very important theme that seems to run through many of the stories recorded in this week's parasha. It's not at first perhaps so noticeable, but I saw in one of the Sforim that he points this out, and then it hits you that this is a very important theme that is perhaps one of the Yesodos of Parshas Ba'alei Yischa. Right at the beginning, the very first part of the parasha, when Aaron HaKohen is taught and instructed with regard to the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, so Rashi says that there is a juxtapositioning between this parasha and the previous parasha, which discusses the Nesiim, who brought the various gifts in the consecration of the Mishkan, the Chanukas HaMishkan. So is there any connection between the two? Story number one, that the Nesiim bring the various matones. Parasha number two, Aaron HaKohen is instructed to light the menorah. Says Rashi, yes, there is a connection. Why? Says Rashi, because when Aaron HaKohen saw that all of the Nesiim brought the gifts to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, chol shodaito, he became very upset. He says, one second, what about me? What about us? Our shevet didn't have a turn. We didn't have a part to play in all of this. Every shevet was represented by their Nasi who brought the gifts to the Mishkan. Where were we? Where was I? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't worry, you'll have a very great part to play as well. You'll light the menorah. That's the famous Rashi, the very first Rashi in this week's parasha. So the Ramban is very troubled. The Ramban says, one second, if we recall, in the 7 days that led up to the Chanukas HaMishkan, what was called the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the 7 days of inauguration of the Mishkan, Aaron HaKohen was makriv many korbonis. If you look in Parshas Tetzaveh, it's described there in great detail. So, he was very unique. He was makriv korbonis, and in fact, he was the only one. He was the only Nasi in all of Klal Yisrael who was makriv korbonis. None of the other Nasiim had a part to play in that particular section. So he had his turn, they had their turn. What was the big complaint? More so, it says chol shodaito. It wasn't just a complaint. He was genuinely hurt and upset about it. I didn't have a part to play. You did have a part to play. You were makriv korbonis for a week in the lead-up, in the trial, as it were, to the opening of the Mishkan. So the Mashkiach, Mir, and Ponovich, Reb Chatzke Levenstein, Zecherinu Livracha, said, very important yesod. It's true he had the Korbonis, but he looked at the Nesiim and he said, at the end of the day, the Nesiim had a mitzvah that I didn't have a part to play in. Aaron HaKohen's outlook to life was, I want to chaparain as many mitzvahs as I can. The jealousy, as it were, if that's the right word, was not because they did, I didn't. That wasn't the point. If that was the issue, then fair is fair. You are the korbanos, they had the parashas nasai. That wasn't the issue. The issue is, if there's a mitzvah available, I want to have a part of it too. And that's what was so depressing for him. Or all the Nesiim come along to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, they have a part to play in the Chanukah. I also want to have a part to this mitzvah. I want to have another piece in the cake, as it were. That is the outlook of somebody who has cheshek, who has a taiva, as it were, for mitzvahs. He's never satisfied. He's never satisfied. In the sefer that I was looking up, he points out that we know the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva was so great that in certain aspect he was even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. It says he had the phenomenal ability to be doiresh, not just the words and the letters in the Sefer Torah, but the crowns written on top of the osias of the Sefer Torah. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. And it said he could extrapolate from them Tile Torah, mountains of halachas of Torah, he was able to derive from the crowns written on top of the letters of the Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu looked, it says in the Gemara in Menachos and Chol Shadaita, he says, wow. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you choose me to be the intermediary to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael when you have this Rabbi Akiva who's greater than me? Perhaps he should have been the one. Such was the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was shoylet b'chol ha-Torah kula. And yet Rabbi Akiva, as we know, died a terrible death. And it says, the Gemara tells us that when they were killing him, it says he was greatly besimcha. Why was he greatly besimcha? Because he said, I was always worried, my whole life I was worried, would I really be able to be Makayim? The pasuk that says, V'ahavto es Hashem elekecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. What does it mean, b'chol nafshecha? Even if they take away your nefesh, still love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was always worried that I wouldn't quite be able to Makayim that mitzvah, and Baruch Hashem, now I see my great moment has arrived, I'm able to Makayim that mitzvah anyway, as well. Rabbi Akiva, you had Kol HaTorah Kula in the palm of your hands. You had Deiresh Halachas from the tagin of the Sefer Torah. No, it wasn't satisfied. B'chol nafshecha, I haven't yet been Makayim. I don't have the full set yet. Of course, this becomes a theme, therefore, in our parasha, when we read later on that they come to Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav, and they say, we were Tameim. We were Tameim, and we were unable to be Makriv the Korban Pesach. And they utter the famous two words, and they say, Loma Nigora. Why should we be worse off? Everybody was Makayim, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and we weren't. Now, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, give them the second chance. This is the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. And all of the Mefarshim were very troubled over here. What do you mean, Loma Nigora? Nobody's criticizing you. You're not going to end up in trouble, and you're not going to be punished. You were Tomei. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah they were Tomei because they were Oisik B'dvar Mitzvah. So they were Tomei on a legal basis, and therefore they were exempt absolutely from the mitzvah. Nobody was going to penalize them or punish them. So what exactly was their complaint, as it were? Loma Nigora! If they would have been punished, I understand their claim. How can you punish us? It's not our fault. Nobody ever intimated they were going to be punished. But the answer is, like Aaron HaKohen, we're looking for more. We're not looking for less. You're right, we're exempt. We're not looking for exemptions. I'm not looking for less. I'm looking for more. Who is looking for less? Carry on reading the parasha. Also, as we continue the theme, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says there, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled away from Har Sinai. And Chazal tell us, the famous Chazal, that they left Har Sinai Ketinoik HaBoireach MiBeis HaSeifa, like the child runs out of cheder. You know, he's looking and watching and waiting for the alarm, for the bell to go. That's it. Phew. Another day gone. And it says they left Har Sinai with that type of attitude. So, the question is asked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to leave Har Sinai and make their way towards Eretz Yisrael. That was the instruction. If not for next week's parasha, which, as we know, the parasha of the Meraglim sent everything in the wrong direction. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told them that now that you have the Torah, now leave Har Sinai and make your way into Eretz Yisrael. And they left. So what exactly was the Taina? All they were doing was whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do. So the Altamis Slobodka said that, again, we're talking about the Derideh on their level, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, it's true, they were Makayim what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but there was a certain element of, phew, thank goodness, if we'd stay any longer at Har Sinai, we might end up with some more mitzvahs, and 613 is enough, so let's go. Are you looking for more, or are you looking for less? That's where Chazal saw, obviously on their great darga, that there was something lacking over here. And the truth of the matter is, The flip side of the coin is in Parshas Beshalach, in Perek Tes Vov, Posuk Chof Beis, it says, Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael miyamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu, as Rashi points out, had to forcibly drive Klal Yisrael away from the Yamsuf. Why did they want to stay? What was so enticing for them? So Rashi says, I'll tell you exactly what was so enticing. Because they had the Bizas Hayam. The Bizas Hayam, all the spoils that the Mitzrayim had left over, and they were busy collecting as much as they could. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, had to drag them away from Yamsuf. So there you see the two sides of the coin. You were happy to stay at Yamsuf because there was money there and you didn't want to quite leave anything left over. When it came to Har Sinai, there it seemed to be the opposite. You were itching to leave. Are you looking for more or are you looking for less? Or to put it more accurately, what are you looking for more of? Gashmius or Ruchnius? That was the Taina. And of course, as we continue the theme in this week's parasha, and we have those who complain, Zocharnu es Hadogo, we remember the good old days in Mitzrayim where we had fish and watermelons and cucumbers, and now all we have is good old fashioned mon, which we'll discuss in a moment, Mitz Hashem. Where are your tainas exactly? Where are your taivas? What are you looking for? What concerns you? More mitzvahs that you could potentially get at Har Sinai, or more food instead of the mon? The interesting thing is that we would be confused for thinking that, listen, maybe it goes hand in hand. Maybe somebody whose nature is to have a taiva, a lust, a desire for more, will have a desire for more of everything in Gashmius and also Ruchnius. And those who are just always satisfied with their lot will be satisfied Bein Beruchnius or Bein Begashmius. And we know that's not the case. The Gemara says a fascinating thing. The Gemara says in Brachos, a kli reikon, an empty vessel, can be a receptacle to fill. But once it's full, you can't fill it anymore. But with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the opposite. A kli mole is machzik. The fuller it is, the more full you try and make it, as it were. In other words, the Odom Ruchni is never satisfied with his Ruchnius. He's happy with his Gashmius. That's fine for me. But I was always on the lookout for more Ruchnius. The Odom Gashmi is the opposite way around. I'm always on the lookout for more Gashmius, less Ruchnius. And that therefore becomes a theme in this week's parasha. Aaron HaKohen is an Odom Ruchni. So he's not happy. The Nesim had a part to play. I didn't have a part to play. You had Korbanos. But I didn't have a part to play in this. I'm on the lookout for more. The Tmeim Lenefesh. It's true we were exempt for Korban Pesach, but we're looking for more. We're not satisfied. And the other side of the coin is, to the contrary, those who said that we want to leave Har Sinai because we're looking for less. We don't want to have more mitzvahs. The story is told, I think this is a famous story, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, Zecherinu Livracha, said that when he was a bocher in yeshiva in Novaradok, he said he once went to a shul there in town, and he was waiting to be interviewed, I think by the hanhola of the yeshiva, and he hears a voice coming from the Ezros Noshim upstairs in the shul. And the voice said, time and time and time again, it's a quote from a Gemara in Erevin, Hi Alma, this world is like a chasna, it's like a wedding. Lebei hilula damya, chatoif va'achoel, chatoif v'shasei. Grab and eat, grab and drink. And he heard this voice again and again and again and again, singing these words of the Gemara. This world is like a wedding. Grab what you can. Grab and eat. Grab and drink. He said he went upstairs to see where this voice was coming from. And he saw there was a bocha sitting there. This bocha turned out to be, in years to come, the Stipler Goyen, father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. That is the attitude of a true Adam Ruchni. I'm not looking for less. I'm looking for more. But as we said, more Ruchnius, less Gashmius. And we know, historically, that we are the Bnei Avram Yitzhak B'Yaakov. We're called the Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael, of course, is Yaakov. How was Yaakov born? Yaakov was born Yodai Oichezes. His hand was grabbing the leg of Esav. And how was Esav born? Esav, from the word Osui, made. It said he was born with the body of a fully grown man. Therein lies the difference. We know Chazal tell us that when they were in the womb of their mother, Rivka, there was a big milchama going on in Ruchnius. And how do they emerge? Esav says, I'm done. That's it. I'm fully made. I'm not looking for anything more. And how does Yaakov emerge? Yodai Echezes. I'm looking for more. However much I've got, I'm not satisfied. But fast forward to Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov sends all the gifts to Esav, how does Esav reply to him? He says, it's fine. Yesh li roiv. And Yaakov responds to him, he says, all these years I've been with Lavan, yesh li koil. And Farshim point this out. What does yesh li koil mean? I have everything. And what does Esav say? Yesh li roiv. Roiv means most, majority. This is the same Esav. With regard to Ruchnius, that's it. He's fully made, 100%. But with regard to Gashmius, I don't have koil. I just have roiv. It's most, but I'm not there yet. I'm never fully satisfied. And Yaakov is the exact opposite. With regard to Ruchnius, Yodai Echezes, I'm trying to clutch more. Gashmius, Yeshli Koil, I have everything I need. Very interesting to note. Haman had 127 countries bowing down to him. Millions and millions and millions and millions of people bowing down to him. And what does he say? V'kol zeh einenu shoveh li. It's all worthless to me. Why? Because there's one Jew called Mordechai is not bowing down. Haman, you have everything. Not quite everything. So I'm not satisfied. Because if there's kavod to be had, then Haman wants 100%. What's so fascinating? The Gemara says, where is Haman alluded to in the Torah? Where was Haman alluded to in the Torah? So the Gemara says, because in Parshas Bereishis it says, Hamin ha'etz hazeh in Gan Eden. Hamin from the letters Haman. So what is this? A play on words? Hamin, Haman. You know what the answer is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam, you're in Gan Eden. Literally in Gan Eden. You have everything. Except one tree. Don't touch the Eitz Hadas. And what happened? The Eitz from the Eitz Hadas. That's Haman. It's not just a play on words. You have everything, Haman. No, you're not quite there. You're not satisfied. The attitude of a true Ben Aliyah, somebody who's looking to grow in his Avodas Hashem, in his Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is I'm never quite satisfied with my level of Ruchnius. My Gashmius is fine. We're obviously talking about a person who can sustain himself and he's living, etc., etc. That's not our issue at the moment. But my emphasis is that I'm trying to get more of Ruchnius, not less. I'm not looking for exemptions, like the Tmeim and the Midbar. They had an exemption, absolutely legal exemption, but we're looking for more. The way I learn, the way I daven, my middos, my this, my that. It might be good, but I'm looking for better. Good is not good enough for me. You know, I once heard, a number of years ago, by David Orlovsky, in his own inimitable style, describe this point, talk about this point, and he'd say, you know, imagine you'd go to a bochen yeshiva and you'd say to him, tell me, the way you daven, are you happy with the way you daven? Listen, it's not great, but it's okay. I agree. I'm not the world's greatest davener, but you know, I'm okay. And tell me the way you learn. Are you a big masmid? Listen, I'm not the world's greatest masmid, but I'm pretty much okay, pretty average, not worse than average. And tell me your makbid not to speak Lashon Hara. I can't say I never speak Lashon Hara, but I'm, you know, pretty much okay, etc., etc. He said, imagine you go to that same bocha a year or two later and say, listen, I know you're of age, I want to suggest a shidduch for you. Oh, yeah, fine, okay, well, what have you got to suggest? Yeah, girl, this is her name. Tell me she's a bright girl. No, I wouldn't say bright. She's not thick, but she's pretty much average. And tell me she's got good middos. I wouldn't say good. Not bad, but, you know, mediocre, pretty much average middos. You know, and then you'd ask her, why are you suggesting this girl for me? Well, I think it's very suitable for you. You know, she's an average type girl. It's basically a good shidduch for somebody like you. How insulted this person would be. Oh, shidduch, no, it's going to be the best. I need the brightest girl and the best middah. Everything's got to be perfect. But when it came to your ruchnias, it came to your davening and your learning, you're pretty much happy with mediocrity. I'm not the worst, I'm not the best, I'm somewhere in the middle, and that's good enough for me. Well, if that's good enough for you, then this shidduch is good enough for you as well. Oh, no, I've got to have the best of the best. That's what we're learning in this week's parasha. The true Ben Aliyah, when it comes to his ruchnias, he needs the best of the best. He's never satisfied. If I can have a part to play in the Chanukah Samishkon, and if I can have a part to play in Korban Pesach, then I want it. As opposed to those who didn't want more mitzvahs and are looking for more food. Where is our dogish? Where are we looking to strive for perfection? In Gashmias or in Ruchnias? That's the difference between the Ben Aliyah and the non-Ben Aliyah. And as I mentioned in the beginning, that seems to be therefore be pretty much a theme in a lot of this week's parasha. We mentioned that in this week's parasha we find that Klal Yisrael complained, we remember Zocharenu es Hadogo, we remember the fish, the watermelons, the onions, and now all we see is mon. Mon, 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 every day, nothing but mon. This is a point that we've discussed in the past, but I think it's so important. It's worth reviewing. Because the question is asked, and I once heard this from Reb Zev Lev Shlita. He said, we must stop and think to ourselves for a moment. If we were to ask ourselves, Mon, Klal Yisrael are living this supernatural existence in the Midbar. So Mon, gee, yeah, wow, tremendous bracha. Tremendous bracha. Direct gift from Shemaim. Nothing natural about it at all. Let's turn back the clock all the way to Parshas Bereishis. And we remember the Nochash. And the Nochash has given a klala. What's his klala? His klala is, that's it, wherever you go, you'll eat earth. So Rav Lev asked, one second, I don't understand. Why is that a klala and this a bracha? The Nochash is the greatest bracha. His food is available when and wherever he wants it, as much as he likes. Remember when I was in school, they used to say this joke, you know, two people are in the desert and they've run out of food and they're very stuck. So one says to his friend, listen, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is there's no more food. From now on, we have to eat sand. The good news is there's plenty of it. No, that's a bracha or a klala. L'chaira, if you enjoy eating sand and it's available, a wonderful bracha. So the Nochash has a tremendous bracha. Wherever you want, you have food, you're surrounded by food. You'll never, ever go hungry, ever. Fast forward to the Midbar, this is a bracha. Every night they went to bed with no idea whatsoever whether they're going to have food tomorrow, the next day or not. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu so decides to rain mon down on them, they'll have food, and if not, they're stuck. There was no makolet, there was no fields, there was no tzvua, there was nothing. You weren't allowed to keep food from one day to the next, and those who tried saw the food went moldy and they got punished. So you're living on a day-to-day budget and you have no clue where you're going to sustain yourself tomorrow. You just hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower mon on you like he did today. So why is that a bracha? So Reb Lev answered, and I've mentioned this before, this story, you might recall. He said that he was approached once by a young man. Remember the story of the credit card? He says he was approached by a young man who says to him, "Rabbi, you have to help me. I'm in a terrible state. I'm almost suicidal." "What do you mean?" He said, "I'll tell you my story." He said, "I used to live at home, me and my father. My mother passed away a number of years ago, and it was me and my father in the house. We had a tremendous relationship. We got on very well together. My father took care of me. He bought whatever I need, clothes and food, and we got on very well. However, one day my father called me in and he said, 'Listen, my son, as you know, your mother, my wife, passed away a number of years ago, and I need to rebuild. I need to begin my life again. And I've been looking for a shidduch, and Baruch Hashem, I found one. I found a wife and I'm soon to be remarried. However, my wife-to-be has insisted that there's no children in the house. It just complicates issues if there's too much of the past. We want to look forward now to the future, fresh start. So I'm afraid you're going to have to leave the house. And you can't really come back because that will jeopardize my whole marriage. And as I mentioned, I can't be alone by myself. I have to rebuild my life.' But he says, 'Don't worry, I'm not just, you know, throwing you on the street. Took out a set of car keys here. These are now yours, the car's yours. Then he took out credit card, here, the credit card's yours as well.' He says, 'Well, what's my budget? How much can I spend? Whatever you like. When? Whenever you like. On what? Whatever you like. Free spending on the credit card.' But he says, 'I have to insist. When you use the card, use it however much, whenever, like, whenever you like. Don't ask me. And in fact, I prefer if you don't ask. I prefer if you don't come back to the house. It's just going to confuse and complicate matters.' Says Rav Lev, 'You know, I left the house and I thought this is too good to be true. Free spending on a credit card. As a teenager, I bought a car, bought clothes, I went on vacations.' And he said, 'After a while, however, this feeling began to gnaw at me when I used the credit card that, one second, this little piece of plastic might be my ticket to unending wealth. But it's a constant reminder that my father doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And I've been thrown out of the house. And every time I use this card, it was another reminder, my father doesn't want a relationship with me. Until I got to the point that I just couldn't use the card anymore. I couldn't do it to myself. I couldn't use this card and remind myself in an active way that you've been thrown out your own father's house. And I've just become so depressed. And as I mentioned, he said, 'Reb Lev, I'm on the verge of suicide.' Reb Lev, in his unique style, said, 'You know, I told this teenager here, I'm here to help. Give me the credit card.' But in all seriousness, he said, after that story, he understood Pshat in this week's parasha. The Nochosh was given HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. You can have all the offer you like, whenever, however, whatever. It's limitless. You have no need, therefore, ever to talk or come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've been thrown out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar go to bed every night thinking, 'What's going to be tomorrow?' So we wake up in the morning, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 'Please send us mon tomorrow like you did today.' And HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed did. And the next day, the same story. And the day after, the same story. Such that they kept on having to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thereby have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the ultimate bracha. That is the ultimate bracha. And I found that the Chasam Sofer in Parshas Ekev writes, and it says based on a Gemara, and he says, listen, Klal Yisrael came out of the Mitzrayim with a month's worth of bread, matzahs. Now, mon is a miracle, it's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have produced another miracle. What could he have done? He could have quite easily have allowed this month's ration of matzah to have lasted them 40 years. So why didn't he? Says the Chasam Sofer, no. V'loy osokein. He deliberately did not do that. Why? In order they should be hungry, v'yitzapu al amon, and they should be anxiously waiting for the mon, yoim yoim, kederech haben, like a child shemetzape al shulchan aviv, waits eagerly every day. The child comes home, what has my father, what has my mother prepared for me for dinner this evening? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true, they were both miraculous. He quite easily could have gone for miracle number one, not number two. He dafka wanted it to be in a way that you have a relationship, child-father. Now the interesting thing is, years later, after I heard this from Rav Lev, I once heard somebody give a drosha, and he quoted Rav Lev. And it's the exact same vort. It's the exact same vort. In Parashas Ekev, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael something that sounds very bizarre. He says to him, listen. Ha'oretz asher ato bo shomo l'rishto. The land that you are now coming to enter, you should know, is loike eretz Mitzrayim, is not like Mitzrayim. Oh, okay, good. We didn't have a good time in Mitzrayim. He says, no, I didn't mean that. You've left Mitzrayim, v'hishkiso b'raglecho k'gan ha'yorok. Mitzrayim had the Nile, constant water supply. You should know in Eretz Yisrael it's not that way. V'ha'oretz asheratem oivrim shomo l'rishto. It's full of mountains and valleys and rocks and stones. It's all dry. There's no water supply in Eretz Yisrael. Limtar hashomayim tishter mayim. The only way you'll drink water is water from heaven. Now, one second. Imagine you'd sold your apartment in Ramah Aleph and you're moving to Ramah Gimel. Lu Yatsuya, in theory. And imagine you're about to move and somebody comes to you and says, you know, I heard you're moving to Ramah Bet Shemesh Gimel. He says, yes, indeed. So I must tell you, it's the worst place in the world. Oh, okay. Thank you for the chizuk. Yes, it's dirty and it's dusty and there's awful people. Why are you telling me this? If you would have told me before the decision was made, then maybe I would have reconsidered. But I'm going there, so why are you telling me this? L'chayru, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Klal Yisrael are going to Eretz Yisrael, finished. That's a fate accomplished. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? In Mitzrayim, there was a constant water supply, guaranteed. In Eretz Yisrael, it's all dry and barren, the water's in heaven. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling them that? Said Rav Lev, carry on reading. What's the next pasuk? Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doyreish oiso. Eretz Yisrael is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly supervising. Tomid, always, Einei Hashem, the eyes of Hashem, are always on Eretz Yisrael. Meireishis Hashono vad Achris Hashono. Mitzrayim had a credit card relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want water? No problem. There's your water. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. You have the Nile. You never, ever, ever need to come back to the Rabbeinu Shalom. In Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, this is not like Mitzrayim. You'll have a relationship with me. Why? Because it's dry. And when you want water, you'll have to come and ask for it. You'll have to daven. And there's a hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Eretz Yisrael. Not like in Mitzrayim, where here's a credit card, now leave me alone. You get the nochosh credit card treatment. Just today, I saw a phenomenal Chasam Sefer, and this is Mamish the Nakuda. It says that Loit went off to Sodom, and the Lashon of the Pasuk in Parashas Lech Lecha, Peret Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud, is he went to Sodom, which is compared to what? Kegan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Sodom is like Mitzrayim. Loit went to Sodom. Effectively, he went to Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu didn't. Listen to the unbelievable words of the Chasam Sefer. Eretz Mitzrayim, loy zochu, they didn't merit sheyitztaruchu letfila. they didn't merit necessitating tefillah. If you live in Mitzrayim, you don't need to daven to Hashem. Rak nosan lohem nilus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Nile. This is Rav Lev's vort, Mufurshim in the Chasam Sefer. For Anshei Sodom, I like Mitzrayim, and that's where Lot went. Fine, so you can go to Mitzrayim, you can go to Sodom, you can have your Nile, you can have your water, you won't need Hashem. But Avrohom bochar behepach. Avrohom, where did he go to? So he went to Chevron. Chevron is the most barren part of all of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why did he go there? Kedei sheyitzarech l'rachamei shomayim. So that he should need heaven to have compassion on him kol shor b'shor, every single hour. Avraham Avinu chose that voluntarily. Lot chose the opposite. I want to have a cushy life. I want to have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. Fine, no problem. So go to Sodom. Then you have no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll just say in conclusion, very famous principle, but very important principle. Imagine you would knock on your neighbor's door one day and you would say to your neighbor, listen, you know me, we've been neighbors for 20 years, I need your help. I'm in a spot of financial trouble. Could you lend me $10,000? Ooh, $10,000. All right, I hear. Let me think about it. A few hours later, he knocks on his door again. He says, hi there, you know me, we've been neighbors for 20 years. I'm in a spot of financial trouble. I'm wondering, maybe you can lend me $10,000. Strange. He just asked me this morning. Well, out of politeness, he doesn't say anything. Fine, I'll think about it. That evening, he knocks on his neighbor's door again. The whole spiel again. I'm in a difficult financial situation. Maybe the next morning, knocks it again. Eventually, what happens? The neighbor says, leave me, you're driving me crazy. Finish. No, he closes the door. He can't have a penny. I heard. Let me consider it. Let me check my bank balance. See if I can manage it. Why are you driving me crazy? Freck the Mabit. The Mabit lived at the same time as the Beis Yosef. And he asks, isn't that what we do every single day? We daven in the morning, and we daven in the afternoon, and we daven in the night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the message. We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, can you send us Chochmah, can you send us Refuah, can you send us Parnosah, can you send us this? He said, fine. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu, consider it, cover Yochel, and he'll fill out the forms, and he'll consult the committee. No. Comes to Mincha, the whole thing again. Maariv, again. Next morning. Says the Mabit, if this would be a Melech, boss of Adom, you'd be thrown out of the palace for this. Says the Mabit, here's the big mistake. We're davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose. We're davening for our purpose. We are the one who need a constant reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our life at every given moment. And that our health comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our wealth comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every atzlocha and every siyata d'shma and every aspect of our life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need the reminder, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Kuzari writes his famous four beautiful words, he says, Tfilah lenefesh is kemozain food laguf. Tfilah lenefesh is like mozain laguf. You know, imagine you come home one night, end of a long day, dinner, say to your wife, the table seems to be empty, is there dinner tonight? She says, dinner, I gave you lunch. That was lunch. It's run out. I need to now restock. Says the Kuzri, that's what tefillah is as well. We have a boost, we have an inspiration, we have an injection, shachris time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs my life in refuah and parnosa and chokhmah and tshuva and everything. And then it ebbs away. Mincha, another reminder. And then it ebbs away. Maariv, another reminder. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard us, but did we hear ourselves? That's what the Kuzri and the Mabit tell us. If you want a credit card relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I sometimes think to myself, imagine if we wouldn't daven. Imagine, that's it, you don't need to daven. Except Yom Kippur Ne'ilah. Imagine once a year, Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, there would be Maimud HaTfilah. Now, we all know that Yom Kippur Ne'ilah is a tefillah which is unparalleled anyway. But can you imagine if you didn't daven the whole year, and this is the one tefillah a year? We'd absolutely pull out the stops. It would be unimaginable. But that would not be the ideal state of existence. You daven for everything, Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah, and then where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu feature in your life for the rest of the year? Until next Yom Kippur? That's it, he doesn't appear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I heard your tefillahs, that's it, parnasa for a year, here's the credit card. No! We daven every single day, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, sometimes Musaf as well. We are the ones who need the reminder that we don't want a credit card relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're looking for a mon relationship. We're looking for an Eretz Yisrael relationship, not a Mitzrayim or a Sedoim relationship. And that's why we need to be constantly reminded that indeed that relationship is constant. And that's why, as Rav Lev explained, the ultimate bracha is not the nochosh and the offer. There you had the credit card deal. Here's the card, now leave me alone. Thrown out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. The mon, every single day, that is the ultimate bracha. You know, the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's muta, and then he adds, in fact, it's ro'u lechatchila, not just permissible, it's appropriate, that when it comes to davening, one shouldn't just say the text, one should add one's own tefillahs. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we know, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to be in the Beis HaMedrash only. Doesn't have to be in shul, doesn't have to be during tefillah. Walk in the street and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's well known, G'day Le'olam, we're in constant conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Constantly. Time they enter the store, they need to buy some cucumbers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me find the cucumbers. Rabbana Adonai, I just learned this week, the halacha, mafurash halacha, you take a tablet, quick tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Medication, this should be for a refuah shleima for me. Every stage, every step, you can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole time. If you want to have the non-credit card relationship. So I'll tell you, a few months ago, I spoke about this in a girls' seminary that I give a shir in. And I told the girls, and I said to them, listen, you can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. And you should speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. If that's the relationship that you want to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to genuinely feel and ingrain in yourself that you're living with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yom Yom. That's what I told them in a shir. 2 or 3 days later, it was a Thursday evening after the shir here. And Thursday evenings when I prepare my shiurim for Shabbos. And I remembered that there was a certain piece of paper where I'd written a whole lot of notes of different psakim that I'd been makabel from my Rebbe, Reb Ulman Shlita. And they were all based on the subject that I was giving a shiur on that Shabbos. So I thought, right, let's track down this piece of paper. And I look and see what I can find. And I'm trying to think, where did I put this piece of paper? So I remember putting it, I tucked it in to my sefer of Tevilas Kelim. So I open the sefer, I take the sefer off the shelf, shake it out, it's not there. I have no idea where it is. I was very, very upset. I've written lots and lots of shailas that I've asked my Rebbe of Ulman, all the different psakim, and I've lost this piece of paper. I'm looking at the Sforim shelf, I'm standing in front of the Sforim shelf. This is a story of 2 or 3 months ago. Looking, scanning the shelves up and down. You know how it is when you lose something, you go crazy. You look at the same place 20 times. I took out the safer again. I shook it upside down, inside out, right, left, up, down. It's just not there. I thought, I don't know. I just, whatever, I had moved apartment a few months before. So maybe in the move it got lost. So I don't even know where to look anymore. It could be anywhere. It's probably gone. And suddenly I thought, 1 second. You just gave a shir 2 days ago. And you said you can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. It doesn't have to be in shul, and it doesn't have to be during the Zman of Tefillah. I'll never forget. I was standing in front of the Sforim shelf, and I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've lost this paper. There's a lot of halachas of it, on it, of Tefillas Kelim, and I'm giving a shir this week on Tefillas Kelim. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, please help me find the piece of paper. I had not finished my sentence. I promise you. Suddenly, in front of my eyes, I saw tucked in between two svarim a piece of paper. I took it out, and there it was. How I missed it the first 20 times, I have no idea. But I do know that the first 20 times that I looked, I didn't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was standing in front of the Sfarim shelf 2 days after having given this shir. You want a credit card relationship or you want a mon relationship? If you want a mon relationship, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. 3 times a day is not enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I've lost this piece of paper. Suddenly it just appeared. I have no idea how it got there. It was tucked in between 2 Sfarim that had nothing to do with Tefillah Tzkelim. I have no idea who put it there, how it got there. It fell out. It fell in. No, it doesn't make a difference. We mustn't make a mistake. We know not every tefillah is answered or in the way that we want or when we want. But our koponim, that's the relationship that we want to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do not want to have a credit card relationship. That was good for the Nochosh, that was good for Mitzrayim, that was good for Loit and Sodom. We want to have the relationship, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, of Mon. Day to day, as the Chasam Sofer says, Avraham Avinu chose to come to Eretz Yisrael. Why? In order that he should need Rachamei Shomayim kol sho'o v'sho'o.